So here's to all of the good thinkers, and here's to the lonely drinker. But don't you know, let this moment pass.
Hello, folks. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and I'm the host of the Crude Life Media Network and podcast. Thank you, folks, for tuning in to The Crude Life, a place for expert interviews, full-length features, and specialty programs. And it is all thanks to our fine sponsors. Be loyal to our sponsors. They keep the program free and literally keep our lights on.
So here's to watching the clocks of our grandfathers, and here's to stopping and picking flowers, and here's to not letting this moment pass you by.
Vicki Steiner, Executive Director, Western Dakota Energy Association, formerly the North Dakota Association of Oil and Gas Producing Counties, and I will be leaving the association at the end of December, December 31st.
Jeff Simon, Executive Director, Western Dakota Energy Association, and I will be replacing Vicki. I'm actually on board now, but officially replacing her January 1.
Okay, great. Well, one other congratulations, and Vicki, congratulations on your new endeavors. And so we wanted to have you on to publicly just kind of say goodbye and thank you for your service out there for the North Dakota oil and gas producing counties. But I understand there's a new name, which you named the Western Energy Alliance. Talk to me a little bit about that name change. And then, Vicki, just talk a little bit about your time at the post of executive director.
Well, the name is Western Dakota. Hang on. Western Dakota Energy Association. It's not Alliance. I know there's another one that sounds a lot like that. So it's still Association at the end.
Okay, I apologize. That's right. I interviewed the like that Governor's Alliance for Western States a few days ago, so I got my wires crossed, but it's a go ahead and state that name one more time.
Western Dakota Energy Association.
Okay, great. And talk about the name change and then your post, if you would, for the please.
Well, the North Dakota Association of Oil and Gas Producing Counties formed approximately 1978. And in a loose way, and then they became more formalized just prior to the 80s oil boom. And now, in 2016, we find that we have uranium and other materials and metals and other types of forms of energy that go beyond just oil and gas. And so they decided that with the change of executive directors, that they would also look at changing their name. So they brought it to the membership in Watford City at the end of October, and the membership voted on Western Dakota Energy Association. So it's definitely going to take us a little bit of time to become more accustomed, I guess, to the new name as we grow. And so that was one of the reasons they did a strategic plan with a consultant at last spring, and the name change was part of being ready to embrace other forms of energy.
That's interesting to me, actually. The name change, by the way, I think is a great choice, Western Dakota Energy Association. And I'm just going specifically by shortening the name up, possibly even it flows off the tongue a little bit. Are you finding that it's being well accepted? Is there any pushback? Just kind of the early thoughts on the new name.
I think it's been fairly well accepted. We did have a couple county commissioners who liked the old name because they were familiar with it, but the majority of people at the meeting felt that it was time to shorten it up, as you say, and the media does not like the name because it's so cumbersome, the old name. North Dakota Association of Oil and Gas Producing Counties. We're also cities and schools in our membership, and the cities are the ones who brought it to the forefront and said it doesn't really describe who we are.
Well, I think it's a it's a great change. It's an evolution of the times. And when I got the email from your weekly newsletter, which people can sign up for as well, I actually smiled. I thought it was a great change. I really thought it was going in the right direction for what you guys are trying to do. And maybe this is a good time to talk a little bit about what you guys are trying to do and what some of the things that you did as a executive director.
Well, this coming session, legislative session, the association has paid for a six-city study. They've shared the cost with six cities: Dickinson, Kildare, Stanley, Tioga, Watford City, and Williston. And AE Twist is working on this particular research for us. And it was highlighted at the annual meeting in Watford City at the end of October. And what they're looking at, instead of just a two-year look at where are these cities being impacted with the growth and then the downturn, and then there's expected growth now in second quarter of 2017, they want to get ready for the next 6-7 years. So this study is really looking at, do they have to add any additional infrastructure? And actually, almost to a T, all the cities are saying, we have got everything built out, and the debt we're carrying today is sufficient. We do need to have certain revenue streams to meet our debt, but doesn't look like they're going to need additional bypasses, additional roads. As you know, the overpass in Dickinson was recently completed. There was a ribbon cutting there. And so the bypass at Kildare, the bypass Watford City. So a lot of these improvements have really helped the communities with that congestion on traffic. And as we go into the next phase of the Bakken, the West is going to be set much differently than it was in 2008. So I'm really impressed with the improvements. The state has done a tremendous job on investing, helping invest with that infrastructure. The quality of life for families will be much greater. So anyway, the study with the six cities is based on, of course, oil price. Because if the oil price were to go lower, perhaps to $30 a barrel at some point, then there may be 5,000 wells that aren't drilled. And so you have to really have a range. And if there's new technology that becomes available, all of a sudden, you know, the forecast could be greater. More oil wells could be drilled. So it's hard to look out past, you know, 6-7 years. But we are really pretty optimistic that if the price is between $25 and $60, that we have a pretty good idea of what kind of workforce and population we'll see in those six cities, and that we understand how much revenue they're going to need and what kind of debt service they have. And that way we can approach this very methodically and a little bit more scientific, if you will, than anecdotal examples. And so with the study will be done mid-December. And I'm glad, thank you for mentioning our weekly newsletter. For those of your listeners who are interested in the Bakken, we run afternoons generally, and you can sign up on our webpage, ndenergy.org. And we also have a free magazine, Basin Bits magazine, comes out twice a year. And I know, Jason, you've written for us in our Basin Bits magazine, which I really appreciate. So that's kind of where we're at with our study. This study just is going to provide data for state stakeholders who are interested in seeing how much has been done and how much still probably needs to be done in the future. But all the major, the major large projects, water and sewer, are already planned, and people are aware of them. They're on paper. So I don't think we'll see any surprises during the session.
So I've been talking to quite a few communities, and Vicki, you can go ahead and put your elected official hat on, or if you want to keep your executive director hat on, or if you just want to be a resident of Western North Dakota, you can keep that hat on. But you know, you're talking about Crosby doing some major infrastructure, Dickinson, Watford City, Williston. These towns are putting some major infrastructure in for, let's be honest, there's low oil prices right now, and some people are concerned whether it's going to come back or not. My contention is that this type of upgrade in these communities was needed 10 years ago. And if the high oil prices is what it took to jumpstart Western North Dakota, I think personally that it was a good thing that happened, even if maybe some people within the state don't necessarily understand it or don't like it. Just your thoughts on my comment.
I agree. I think the old 5% gross production tax formula was capped, and it took a while for us to take the cap off. And so for a while, they were starved, and then when they took the cap off, they only went 10% at the bottom level. And I'm not going to go into the whole formula, but basically they needed more revenue to deal with the rapid growth. And actually, if your listeners were able to drive to Watford City, which is in the heart of the Bakken, tremendous activity. I mean, there's still commercial buildings being built. There's a lot of traffic there, and there's a lot of activity around that sweet spot, even at $45, $50 oil. So the prediction is if oil goes to $60, it's going to open things up. Now, they're drilling twice as fast as what we're told. So instead of drilling in 30 days, they drill in 15. So there, if the rig count is 30, by old measurement, that'd be 60. So you don't need quite as many people to drill if you're drilling, you know, twice as fast. So we've had to adjust the workforce population estimates, and that's what AU2S is helping us with. We also partnered with NDSU. They have a Vision West program, Vision West and the Association, the Western Dakota Energy Association, our association, put some money together to get some workforce population estimates so that we would be able to get more accurate on how much water and sewer we actually are going to need for the permanent population. We are not building for the transient population, although we do have to accommodate them for the years they're here. But in the long run, when all is said and done, we're not going to have any extra infrastructure for the transient workforce that just, you know, they come in and they drill, then they go back to Oklahoma or Texas or wherever they live. So I think we've been, I guess I'm really proud of how the state's handled it and how the counties have handled it. I think it's going as well as can be expected. I mean, if the price goes to $150 a barrel, I think, yeah, things will snap back rather quickly, and it'll get a little crazy again. But we shouldn't have as many trucks on the road because we have more pipeline infrastructure in place. We didn't have that in 2008 and 2010 and 2012. So as that activity got busier and busier and busier, you know, part of it was not having infrastructure. So now that some additional infrastructure is there, yes, you'll probably see fewer trucks, you'll probably see a little bit less, but the quality of life has been improved so much. And on one hand, the state will say, well, you need to create communities where these young families want to stay. And so that's what these communities are trying to do. And that way we can retain our population in the state and fill our schools again. So then when you fill the schools again, obviously, then you got to look at how do we fund that. So it's a chicken and an egg, but I'm really excited about the future for Western North Dakota. I don't know which hat I'm wearing, probably just a proud citizen of Dickinson, but I'm very excited about the future for both the state and Western North Dakota. And unfortunately, I think people who don't live in that area don't get a chance to see it. So it may not be as easy for them to understand because they don't experience it daily.
And Vicki Steiner and Jeff Simon, new executive director for the Western Dakota Energy Association. And this, whichever one of you wants to certainly answer it, Vicki and I have talked about this before in the past, that if you're not from Western North Dakota, where you can experience the actual infrastructure that's being done to notice how night and day these improvements are. You just totally don't necessarily understand. Maybe somebody from Fargo or Minneapolis, they might think there's some exaggeration going on out there. But I was in Dickinson when it went from 2 lanes to 4 lanes on Highway 22, one of the busiest highways in Minnesota, in North Dakota. And so I actually was part of that culture change, and it is like night and day. Jeff, are you, and with your position now and your past in the Bakken, have you seen some of those major changes? And I'm thinking of the Watford City, you know, roundabout bypass type thing. Talk to me a little bit about some of these either emergency services or some of these major changes that you've seen out there in your time in the Bakken.
Well, I'll tell you, Jason, I traveled extensively in a former job. So 10 years ago, I knew what Williston looked like, what Watford City looked like. I'd been to Stanley and places like that. And, you know, I guess I can give you a tale. Just last week, I drove up to Montreal County, and I visited Stanley and Newtown. And, I mean, it had probably been, I confess I get to Williston a lot more frequently than I get to Stanley. So it had probably been 3-4 years maybe since I'd been to Stanley. And the town was almost unrecognizable, frankly. It had grown that much. There was a lot more development on the west side of town that, it just wasn't there a few years ago, and the same on the north side. And, you know, when you've got those kinds of growth situations in housing and commercial development, obviously the communities are challenged to provide the infrastructure. So that's, you know, that was really the purpose of my visit up there to both Stanley and Newtown, was to, you know, talk with people in the communities, you know, stop by the Public Works office and visit with the county highway folks to find out, you know, how they're coping with it and what their ongoing needs are. You know, there is still, the cities have, as Vicki described, quite a bit of what I would call assimilative capacity right now. They've built out and they've got a lot of the urban infrastructure in place. But the county roads, those people are still challenged because more development is, you know, popping up. It's, you know, kind of corridor driven now, where, you know, the oil production and development is a lot more organized now into corridors, but it still requires roads to get there. And, you know, counties are constantly challenged to upgrade roads. And frankly, it makes more sense to pave some of these rural county gravel roads than it does to leave them gravel, because they're going to be, you know, this oil traffic, oil field traffic is going to be there for, you know, a couple of decades, most likely. And the thing about a gravel road, you can kind of think about this, it requires constant maintenance. Whereas, you know, an asphalt road, once it's upgraded, it's upgraded. And, you know, you maintain it, you maybe chip seal it every couple of years and occasionally have to resurface. But those are some of the things that I encountered out there. Newtown, there's a bypass around Newtown now, so they've got kind of their Main Street corridor back, and they just recently completed a rebuild of the Main Street area to widen it and make it, much more aesthetically pleasing to the public, if nothing else. They've also expanded it. They've got a new treatment plant, a water treatment plant there. They've doubled the capacity of their water facilities. You know, there have been a lot of improvements out there, and so the cities, they've done a lot of things to catch up, but obviously, there is still some work to do out there.
What are you guys, projecting or summarizing? Kind of, you had your annual meeting a little less than a month ago. What was kind of the general theme or the general bullet points from that annual meeting?
You know, I guess I would kind of say it was a little bit of what I just said, you know, that the downturn has given the communities a little bit of a chance to get caught up, but they still, you know, now they've some of these communities have leveraged their financing ability. So they, as Vicki said, they need a constant revenue stream to, you know, to pay off some of that infrastructure investment. And, there's a recognition that, you know, the pace of the activity is going to depend where the price of oil goes, and that's, you know, all kind of revolves around really kind of what happens today in the whole geopolitical situation around the world. OPEC's trying to curtail production to drive the price up higher, but they can't seem to come to any agreement on it. And all of that affects us out here in little old western North Dakota, you know, to see, you know, just how quickly we see a rebound in activity. A lot of activity is occurring in those core counties, and part of these, part of the population analysis also takes into account the break-even price for drilling wells, which, as Vicki alluded to, because of efficiencies, it's coming down some. But, you know, you see that core of activity in McKenzie, Dunn, Williams, and Montreal counties, which is, you know, really the sweet spot of the Bakken. Most of the activity is occurring right there now because, you know, it's still a productive operation and, a going concern. Out in the periphery, not so much activity. But if that oil price rebounds to 60 or so, we're going to see a lot more activity, and it's going to, you know, move out from that core area.
What are you hearing from your towns? You guys formerly were the North Dakota oil and gas producing counties. So you have, I forget if it's 19 counties, but you can correct me in just a second. But what are you hearing from the number of different counties that you guys represent?
Well, this is Vicki, and we had a resolution that passed at the annual meeting, and it was about assessing, it's a centrally assessed facility like a rail yard in a county. The example is that in Montreal County, they have a rail loading facility, and they disagreed with the tax assessment as put forward by the State Board of Tax Equalization. And they found that as a county, they could not take that disagreement to the North Dakota Supreme Court. So through Vision Western ND, through the Western Dakota Energy Association, our oil and gas counties, and through the North Dakota Association of Counties, that resolution is making its way to the legislative session because the Montreal County wanted to see if the Supreme Court agreed with the tax assessment of the state board. And part of the problem is that, you know, all these counties are hiring industrial assessors to come up with a number, and they felt that the State Board of Tax Equalization didn't have as much expertise on how much that facility was valued at, and they felt that there were tax dollars that were not being gathered properly for their county. So, you know, that was one of their concerns. We have Trudy Ruland from Montreal County Commission on our executive committee, and she brought that forward, and so there's three different groups that have vetted it and are interested in seeing if legislators would take a look at it. So that's something that came out of our annual meeting discussion. Also, the Association of Counties, North Dakota Association of Counties, took it up at their annual meeting in October as well. So those are the kinds of things county commissioners want to make sure they get right, the tax assessments are fair, and that their taxpayers are not impacted by a decision that could be made in error, possibly.
Last time we spoke, rather than last time, I know a number of counties have made investments. I talked to Crosby, and they invested in, I think, their pool and some downtown streets. You know, there's been a number of you mentioned Newtown as the bypass. That's from a state. But a number of these cities, these towns, have invested in their infrastructure, whether it be from the surge money that came in or just that they needed to do something. And then there were some communities that kind of weren't sure about it. I remember Dennis Johnson a couple of years ago at the oil and gas producing meeting, annual meeting, was talking about how Dickinson went from debt-free to $100 million in debt really quick. And so he was just kind of warning people about that. Are you hearing anything from your oil and gas producing counties that are either a little bit nervous about oil prices due to some city investments or that just has some nerves about that type of thing?
I haven't yet. I think what they're nervous about is if the formula might be changed and the revenue stream would be cut. But there aren't any proposals that I'm aware of yet that would do that, although people talk. But I would like to see that we hold that formula as it is, because we haven't even had a chance to see if it's going to work. The oil prices, it fell. The buckets on the Strategic Infrastructure and Investment Fund didn't fill. So we haven't actually had a chance to see some of the new formula changes play out yet for both the state and the counties, western counties. So my hope is that we make sure that we take care of the hub cities. They're going to have a certain level of expectation on debt repayment. But once we get that revenue stream secured, everybody will be sitting in good shape. We might have to tweak a few things in the formula, but I'd like to see the formula stay as it is, and we'll see how that discussion goes once we get in to the session on January 3rd. Jeff, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
Well, I think, basically just to kind of echo what you said, there are identifiable projects out there. There are, communities that are looking to upgrade their wastewater systems. There are other communities that are approaching limits of their water capacity. So, a lot of the transportation infrastructure has been upgraded, but there are still needs out there. And, of course, there's need to service the debt that supported the existing projects.
And also, Jason, this is Vicki. I wanted to let people know, if they're from a non-oil county, that actually the money was sent statewide. There's oil money that feeds the Water Resources Trust Fund. And through water projects and also transportation projects, there was both oil county and non-oil county money that went out. And virtually every corner of the state was touched with oil money. So sometimes it's not labeled that way, because it comes either through DOT or some other fund, but the source was the oil and gas industry.
That's a good observation. In fact, I would even go a little further to say that many different areas through the state government and taxes, and even just the economic ripple, is due to oil and gas. I was out there. I saw it with my own eyes, the amount of capitalism and just the sheer economic development that happens because of oil and gas. And it is nice to have this surge kind of as a bridge, or as an opportunity to do some construction projects, so that, because the rig count did fall pretty fast from 100 down to whatever it is, 30, 25, whatever we have. And so that part was really important too, is that it was to keep that kind of activity going out there. And where are you hearing the hot spots are? I'm hearing it's like Watford City and just kind of right around that area. We got just a few minutes left with Jeff Simon and Vicki Steiner with the Western Dakota Energy Alliance. So we'll kind of go with some closing thoughts, if you guys want to mention where some of the activities are, and then whatever direction you guys want to go with the conversation from there. I like to give guests the last word, so it's not framed by me, and that way they can make sure that they get out over the airwaves and in print, whatever it is that they'd like to people to remember. So go ahead, guys.
Well, this is Vicki, and absolutely the activity is near Watford City. You can feel it when you're in that area. Also Williston. Williston has a lot of service companies. And I live in Dickinson, and I'm actually kind of surprised that the motel parking lots have a lot of white pickups, and generally the oil and gas industry is driving white pickups. The motel parking lots are not empty like they were when I lived in Dickinson in the early 80s, when they said it was an oil bust in 81 and 82. And we have people leaving Dickinson every day to go out and work, and many are going out on production duties, but we have still a lot of activity. Now, Lynn Helms at our meeting said Dunn County is actually the shining star right now, and they have a lot of gas infrastructure activity. So Dunn County got the star at the annual meeting, and but you'll see, if you drive to Watford City, you'll see a lot of activity as well. The one thing I did want to mention was that in our resolution about the industrial tax valuation resolution, I just wanted to explain it a little bit further, and it has to do with updating the rules regarding real and personal property to improve training opportunities for local county tax officials and seek an appeals process for counties to the State Board of Equalization. As I said, Montreal County had the decision from the State Board, and they were unable to appeal to the Supreme Court. So that is the end of the resolution that was passed by the membership at the annual meeting of the Western Dakota Energy Association. Jeff, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, it's kind of what you said. The core of the play is probably around Watford City, and it's always the Bakken concussion, I think we'd call it. It's like, you know, a rock that falls into a pond, and it just ripples away from the center there, and the farther away from the center you get, the less activity there is, but there's still a lot of it out there. I just might mention we upgraded our vision statement, too. The association's mission statement says we support sustainable energy development and responsible revenue sharing for our members and promote the greater good of North Dakota. Pretty simple mission there. And as far as the vision statement, our association, our goal is to be recognized as the trusted and unified voice promoting prosperity and improving the quality of life by influencing decisions that affect member counties, cities, and schools. And that's my job, and I'm sticking to it.
And here's to the sound of one hand clapping, and here's to not letting this moment pass. And here's to carrying the weight of the world, and here's to screaming, yeah, never being heard. And here's to not letting this moment pass.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.